Well, hey, welcome all of you who are here today and those of you watching on Facebook today as well. Last week, we started this series called Creating Space. And if you weren't here last week, I'm going to catch you up real quick. But before I do that, I just want to say one thing. This sparked a lot of conversation last week. And so if you went home and you cleaned out a closet or you cleaned out the backseat of your car, I'm so glad that you did that. Now, that really wasn't the point of the whole message, but I'm glad that you went home and cleaned out your closet. And so, in fact, let's have a moment of confession. All right, how many of you have at least one closet at home that looks a little bit like this? Raise your hand. All right, now keep your hand up. All right, how many of you like it that way? Like, this is no problem. Oh, wow. The hands went down, all right? All right, so now, how many of you, all right, if you see a closet like this, you think to yourself, man, somebody needs to go do some shopping. Right? Like, there is just way too much space there. They could fit a whole lot more in there. Anybody? No? All right. Well, the good news is this entire message, I could really care less what if your closet looked like this at all. I don't want your life to look like this. I don't want your schedules to look like this. And as we're going to talk about in a few weeks, I don't want your finances to look like this, where there's just no room for air, there's no room for margin, you got everything crammed in there that you can. I don't want your relationships to look like this at all. So we're going to talk about creating space, right? Creating margin. And so just so we're all on the same page, right? We defined it last week as this. And we said creating space, Randy, if you put that slide up for me, we said creating space is the margin or the space, right, between our current pace and our limits. Right? It's that margin between our current pace, you know, how fast we're going, how much we're spending, you know, how well we're doing relationally. The space between your current pace and our ultimate limits. Because relationally, you know, financially, and in terms of our time, we all have limits. And when there's no space between your pace and your limits, we begin to no longer enjoy life. Now, here's the cool thing about this, right? And you may not be a church person or a Christian, or maybe you're still trying to figure out this whole God thing. But believe it or not, that this ancient book that you avoid reading because maybe you're scared of it, the Bible, actually speaks into this. In fact, here's something kind of incredible, and you may not have known this. Well, when God created his very first society, right, the nation of Israel, who were meant to represent God to the entire world, he gave them these commandments. Right? He gave them actually about 613-some commandments, as we said last week. And then there's the top 10, you know, the famous ones, the Ten Commandments. And in the commands and laws that God gave them, as we saw last week, God commanded them to create space. And there were three specific ones that we looked at last week. And so if you missed last week, you know, make sure you go back and watch it again. But God did this because he knows how we're wired. Right? He knows how he created us. He knows that, you know, we'll just try to jam as much as possible into our lives. And in an attempt to get the most out of life, we lose control of our lives. So God had built into the fabric of this brand new society a way to create space, because life is always better when you create space. So today we're going to talk specifically about your time and your schedule, right? Because my inclination and your inclination is to cram everything in and take nothing out, right? My tendency and your tendency is to do as much as we can and not to the point where we no longer enjoy much of what we do, right? And here's how you know that you're in trouble in terms of your schedule. You maybe say this a lot. I'm going to be 15 minutes late. I may have to leave 5 minutes early. I'm going to be 15 minutes late. I may have to leave 5 minutes early. No, honey, I'll be at your concert, but I might miss the first part of it. Exactly when do you play? No, because I want to show up, you know, stand in the back, you know, see my daughter perform, you know, for her 15 minutes or whatever it is, and then get on to whatever is next. So when I come home, I can say, oh, man, daughter, you were so fantastic, you know, but I didn't see the whole thing. I just showed up, you know, long enough to watch you sing or play for your 15 minutes, and then I left. You know, you drive too fast, you eat in your car, and it's just, you know, go, 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 go. And we're going to talk about in a few weeks, right? All right? You're at work, and you're thinking about, well, I wonder what's going on at home. And then you're home, and you're thinking, well, I wonder what's going on at work. And then you're at work, and it's like, gosh, I wonder what I'm missing out on at home. And then you're at work, or you're at home, you know, and I'm thinking, gosh, I'm worried about work. And you just cram it all in. And your kids are going like in 100 different directions all the time. And maybe you're single and you can't say no to anything. You know, anything anybody asks you to do, it's like yes. And then you think to yourself, gosh, why did I commit to that? And you're afraid of backing out, so you don't do that. And so your life is just crammed full of stuff. So today we're going to talk about how to solve that. Right? And if this isn't happening to you right now, how to prevent that from happening. Now, there are several approaches we could take, right? There's a lot of different things we could talk about in regards to time. And so I'm so excited about today's message because we're going to talk about just one thing, right? One big idea with one application that literally, and I know this is sounds like preacher talk, but this application could literally change your life. Right? It could change your life because it will change your time. And I don't know if you know this, but your time is your life, right? As your time goes, so goes your life. As your schedule goes, so goes your life. And we're going to get this big pearl of wisdom from none other than Moses. Now, if you have a Bible and you want to follow along, or maybe you're online, you got a Bible, or maybe you got one on your phone, there's some blue ones in the chairs around you, we're going to be in Psalm chapter 90, right? Psalm 90. And when you think of Psalms, maybe you think of David, but this is actually a psalm written by Moses. Now, Moses had four different kind of lives, sort of, and this is kind of fascinating. This is maybe why we should take him seriously. But Moses was raised in Pharaoh's household as an adopted son. Right? He was actually a Hebrew, but he was raised as an Egyptian. So the first part of his life, everything was kind of going his way. You know, he had 4K televisions in every single room. He had just an awesome life because he lived with Pharaoh and he had it made. And then he kind of falls out with Pharaoh's family because he killed this guy. And so they kind of kick him out of their family. He takes off. He runs for his life. And then for the next chapter of his life, Moses finds himself as a shepherd. Now, talk about some slow days. Right? You take your sheep out into the pasture. You sit there and you watch the sun go across the sky. And you gather them back up. You take them home, put them in a pen. You wake up the next morning and just do it all over again. All right? So for 40 years, Moses is a shepherd. And you need to kind of understand this. Moses did not know his own story. Right? Moses, for 40 years as a shepherd, and he's kind of thinking to himself, you know, this is it. I'm going to watch these sheep die. Eventually, I'm going to die. I'm going to have maybe a few kids. My grandkids will remember my name. But then nobody ever remembers Moses again. Right? He did not know. He had no clue that we would be sitting here today talking about him. Right? So that's the second part of his life. Now, the third part of his life then, you know this, he ends up back in Egypt. You know, the whole let my people go and the river of blood and all these signs and wonders and these plagues. So now he's God's mouthpiece. And the next thing you know, he finds himself in the middle of this controversy at the epicenter of one of the biggest events in world history where he faces down Pharaoh and he tells him, let God's people go. Then the fourth part of his life, the next thing you know, he's the leader of this huge nation. Right, they're marching out of Egypt into God knows where. I mean, literally, God knows where. The land of Canaan into the promised land. Now he's the leader, and all these people are whining and complaining, and God's finally like, I'm sick of these people. Right? I'm not going to let them go into the promised land. So Moses, for the rest of your life, you're going to lead these people around in a circle until they all die. Well, that's just awesome, God. Right? Thank you for that. So I'm raised in Pharaoh's home. And then for 40 years, I'm a shepherd staring at sheep. And then I'm suddenly, you know, Mr. Somebody in the middle of everything going on politically in Egypt. And then, you know, I'm just wandering around and around and around in the desert. And then at the end of Moses' life, if you read the Bible, and in fact, you should read the Bible, he gets to the edge of the promised land. Right? He's got all these people with him, and this entire nation, over a million people. And God says to Moses, oh, you can't go in. It's like, what? I'm Moses. What do you mean I can't go in? God says that you can't go in. I'm going to let you go up on top of a mountain. I'm going to let you look at the promised land, but you can't go in. Now, this guy has got some perspective on time. And in Psalm chapter 90, he gives it to us. I'm telling you, this is the context for every single decision we make as it relates to time. And in fact, you don't have to be a Christian. You don't have to be a religious person. I mean, you don't even have to believe that Moses is a historical person. This is absolutely fascinating, and I hope that as a result of what we read together today, that some of you will go home and actually pick up your Bibles and read them, because these words are powerful, and they should shape or form every single decision we make in regards to time, and specifically what we cram in and what we pull out of our schedules. So let me read these verses to you. They're a little bit tricky. You know, it's ancient. It's Hebrew translated into English, so it's a little bit tricky, but I'm going to read them, and you can follow along. Psalm chapter 90. And then at the end, Moses gets to this powerful, powerful punchline. So here's how it goes. He says, Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations, right? Talking about the nation of Israel. Throughout all generations, we've just kind of lived within the context of who you are. And he continues, before the mountains were born, right? That's kind of a cool imagery. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the whole world from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. So he says, God, you know, the arrow kind of goes in both directions, right? You are everlasting to everlasting. And somewhere in the middle or between the bookends of everlasting to everlasting, there's me, Moses. And then there's us, the nation of Israel. And there's us even today. And then he makes this incredible statement, right? I love this. You turn people back to dust, saying, return to dust, you mortals. I mean, that is like the greatest Gandalf statement in the entire Old Testament right there, right? Return to dust. Are there no Lord of the Rings fans in here? Come on. Lord of the Rings, return. You shall not pass. I got the wrong crowd. All right. Return. You got to watch Lord of the Rings, man. You can't be a Christian and not watch Lord of the Rings. You shall not pass, right? Return to dust, you mortals. Now, all right. Now, this is a little bit offensive to us in our modern way of thinking, but it wasn't to Moses, right? This was his way of saying that God controls the beginning and the end, right? That God controls and has input into the days of our lives. Now, you struggle with this, right? And I struggle with this. It's like, okay, well, what do you mean? Does God, like, kill people? You know, does God, like, cause things to happen? I don't know. Does God just know how many days we're going to live, or does God actually decide how many days we're going to live? I don't know. But what's important for you is, or most of us, is that, you know, whether you recognize this or not, or whether you can explain it or not, because none of us can really explain this very well, most of us believe that God has something to do with the length of our lives. Now, I can prove it to you. Right? If you found out tomorrow that you had a terminal disease, would you pray? If you found out tomorrow that somebody you love has a terminal disease, would you pray? Okay, regardless of the fact that you haven't prayed in a long, long time, there's something in you where we would at least lift our eyes up and say, oh, God. You know, if that was even the length of a prayer, you know, just, oh, God. Now, there's something in you from childhood, or there's something in you, you know, as a result of what you believed way, way back, or even now. Right? There's something in you that believes that somehow God has something to do. I can't explain it, but he has something to do with the number of the days of my life. And he continues. Right, he says, a thousand years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch, right, which was like 3 hours, 3 or 4 hours, or like a watch in the night. In other words, this is Moses' way of saying, God, you know how I keep saying, you know, wow, the years are flying by? Imagine how they fly by for you. Right, God, as I get older, you know, the years just fly by so quickly. I mean, wow, you know, you're God. You're like everlasting to everlasting. Imagine how time flies by for God. I mean, everlasting to everlasting. He says, for me, it's like, you know, here comes another year, here comes another year. Wow, you know, where did the last 10 years go? But God, for you, 1,000 years is like 3 hours to you. No, God, from everlasting to everlasting, my whole life, you know, which is such a big deal to me, how must my life look to you within the context of 1,000 years is like 3 hours to you? And yet, he goes on, all right, yet you sweep people away in the depth or in the sleep of death. All right, they are like, and again, he's talking about you, he's talking about me, yet you sweep people away in the sleep of death. They are like new grass of the morning. You know, a little baby is born and it's like, oh, he's so cute and she's so cute. You know, they got their whole life ahead of them. They're like the new grass of the morning that springs up new, but by evening it is dry and withered. All right, he says, God, I guess from your perspective, you know, our long years, and in a minute he's going to say, you know, some of us get 70 years, some of us get 80 years. Moses got 120 years. So he has a little bit more perspective than we did. All right, he says, I guess from your perspective, our entire lives, which we get so jacked up about, I guess from your perspective, it's kind of like, you know, grass that pops up in the morning, and yet by late afternoon, it's dead and gone. You know, isn't this exciting? Aren't you glad you came to church today? And then he goes on. He says, our days may come to 70 years or 80 if our strength endures.
Yet the best of them, all right, talking about the best years of our lives, yet the best of them are but trouble and sorrow. See, Moses is talking about trouble and sorrow here, and he's telling us, you know, let me tell you my sad story. All right? If you think you had trouble and sorrow, let me tell you my sad story. For 40 years, keeping sheep, right, thinking that was it. And then things kind of pick up for me again, you know, let my people go. And then for 40 years, walking around in a circle with a bunch of whining and complaining people, I get right to the edge of the Holy Land, and God says, oh, you can't go in. Now, what was your sad story about sorrow and heartache and all that? It's like, oh, never mind, Moses, I think you win, right? And Moses is like, right, yeah, I know, I win. And it's like, you know, how do we even believe in a good God when you hear stories like that? And Moses is going, oh, don't lose faith in God. All right, don't lose faith in God just because God is so big and your life is so small. And then he says, for they quickly pass, all right, talking about the years, for they quickly pass and we fly away. How many of you ever sang that song, I'll Fly Away? You know, that's where that came from right there, right? That was a verse from Moses. You didn't even know it, right? And here's his point, that time and life pass by quickly. And he continues. Says, if only we knew. Now, this is the really kind of confusing verse, so I'm going to read it to you, and then I'm going to explain it, but this is a little bit tricky. It says, if only we knew, right? In other words, if only we could understand. If only we could comprehend the power of your anger. Your wrath is as great as the fear that is your due. Now, that just seems like a very poorly constructed sentence, but this is a difficult Hebrew verse to translate into English, and all the translations do their best at it. This is probably the best version you're going to find. So let me tell you what it means instead of what it actually says. So here's the idea. If we could see God as he is, we would give him the reverence he is due. So here's what Moses is saying, right? You are everlasting to everlasting. Now, I'm like a piece of grass that is here today and gone tomorrow. My life is just like boom, 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 right? It just goes by so fast. But if I think it goes by fast, you know, oh my gosh, my life is not even a fraction of a second to you. Because to you, you know, 3 hours is like 1,000 years. So Moses kind of pauses in this big grand explanation and says, wow, if we could somehow see how God is, actually how he is, then when it comes to our time and when it comes to our lives, we would actually give him the reverence that he is due. You know, because I only have this tiny itty-bitty slice of life to do something with. You know, wouldn't the rational or correct thing to do is to somehow use my little itty-bitty slice of existence to somehow bring God glory? Here's another way to read it. If we could see God as he is, all right, we would be more careful with the time that he has given us. If we could see God as who God is and realize that he gave us time and he gave us life and he is everlasting to everlasting and we are here today and gone tomorrow just like grass, then we would probably, hopefully, rethink what we do with this gift of limited time that God has given us, wouldn't we? See, we don't think like this, right? It takes Moses to kind of shake us out of our slumber and wake us up to the fact that our lives are incredibly short. Moses says, the context of your life is everlasting to everlasting. See, it is good to pause every once in a while and contemplate the brevity of life. Because, as he's about to say, in contemplating the brevity of life, right, in contemplating the fact that your time is limited, eventually it will impact what you decide to do with your limited time. So he comes now to the application, right? And we looked at this verse actually about 3 years ago. So if it sounds familiar, I hope it does, because it is such a powerful reminder. But look at what he says. It says, teach us, right? Teach us, because we don't naturally do this. Teach us to number our days. Or another way you could say it is, teach us to live as if our days are numbered. Now, Dee Dee and I have been confronted by this lately. Right? We used to be a household of six. Now, suddenly, we're a household of four. You know, when Kaylee went off to college a couple years ago down at UNI, she would still come home a lot on the weekend, so we would see her. But now she's a junior. She's got her own apartment down there, two jobs, going to school. So we hardly ever see her anymore on the weekends. And last year, you know, Luke was still living at home while he was going to Hawkeye. A month ago, he transferred college now down to Georgia. So now, suddenly, it's just Titus and Kelly and Dee Dee and I. But we've always spent our time as if we're always going to have our kids. You know, we've always spent our time as if we're going to have each other. You know, we spend our time as if I'm always going to have this job. We spend our time as if I'm always going to have my parents. You know, we spend our time as if our time is unlimited. You know, we know it's not, but in terms of how we schedule and how we cram what's in and how we prioritize things, most of us live as if our days are not numbered. And Moses says, no. That is a huge mistake. You need to learn to number your days, which means learn to live as if your days are numbered. And when you do, he says, there is a promise. Okay, teach us to number our days. That, right? In other words, this leads somewhere, right? Here's the result. That we might gain a heart of wisdom. Teach us to number our days, because in living as if our days are numbered, we will gain wisdom about what we should put in, what we should leave out, and how to prioritize things. If you live as if your days are not numbered, you will continue to fill your days with things that later on you will wish you had not filled your days with. But when you begin to number your days, you immediately, as we're going to see in a minute, you immediately gain wisdom, right? You immediately gain perspective. It's like, well, wait a minute. I can't spend my time doing that. I need to spend more time doing that. I need to spend no time doing that, or maybe I need to begin spending time doing that. So kind of backing up to this entire passage, here's kind of a summary statement for everything Moses just taught us. Okay, realizing that our time is limited gives us wisdom to know how to spend our limited time. Okay, realizing or remembering that our time is limited gives us the insight or gives us the wisdom we need to know how to spend our limited time. Now, what I'm about to share with you, right, I'm about to do you a huge favor because I'm about to fast forward you to the end of your life. And if you will take this wisdom that you normally wouldn't get until the end of your life and apply it to your life right now, it will help you to make better decisions as it relates to what you give your time to. Are you spending most of your time doing what matters most? Now, Bronnie Ware, right? Maybe you've heard of Bronnie Ware. Bronnie Ware is an Australian nurse, right? Bronnie spends most of her time with men and women in the last 12 weeks of their life, right? She's a hospice nurse. So for many years, she has spent time with people who have about 12 weeks left to live. And she stays with them all the way to the end. So some time ago, she began to ask her patients questions. And eventually, she took all their answers and she compiled them into what became a best-selling book. And she asked these patients of hers, do you have any regrets? What are your regrets? And she began, as you may imagine, to hear a pattern. And the book is called The Top 5 Regrets of the Dying. So today, to help you get a perspective that you won't have any other way, I want to share with you the top 2 regrets that people have within the last 12 weeks, or actually, in most cases, in the last few days or even within the last few hours of their life. Now, I'm going to give you the second one first and then the top one, right? The second one is one that you might expect to be the top one, but here's what they say. I wish I hadn't worked so hard. I wish I hadn't worked so hard. Nothing new there, right? I mean, we hear that all the time. I wish I hadn't worked so hard. Now, I want to read a statement that she makes about this regret, right? And here's what she says. And guys, you need to pay attention to this one. She says, this came from every male patient that I nursed. Every single man. Right? Every single man. And every single man at the end of their life said, I wish I hadn't worked so hard. They missed their children's youth and their partner's companionship. Now, women also spoke of this regret, but as most were from an older generation, many of the female patients had not been breadwinners. All of the men I nursed deeply regretted spending so much of their lives on the treadmill of a work existence. Now, guys, let's just pause for a minute there and take that in, all right? Do you know what all means? All means all. Right, every single man that she talked to, every single man that was a patient of hers on their deathbed died with regret of making their jobs the most important thing in their life. I told you last week that oftentimes I'm preaching to myself when I'm preaching to you as well. Now, I don't know how many times I read this last week. And then sat at my desk and just bawled. This is me. I don't know about you. This is me. And then I decided to do something about it. And I closed my laptop at 4:30. I left it on my desk. This is on Tuesday. I left it on my desk, but normally I would pack it up and take it home with me so I could work all night, sitting in my chair on my computer. And I went home to be with my family. And I did that for a few days last week, and Dee Dee's like, what in the world is wrong with you this week? Because if we don't learn to number our days, we will misspend our days, our lives, and we will die with an avoidable regret. Because when you think you have all the time in the world with your kids, and when you think you have all the time in the world with your spouse, and when you think you have all the time in the world, and all the time in the world, and all the time in the world, and then suddenly you realize you don't have all the time in the world, that you can't go back, right? You only get to be 20 once. You only get to be 30 once. You only get to be 40, well, maybe a couple times, right? You get to be 47 indefinitely, right? I mean, these are stages of life you can't go back. And here's why this is so important. Listen, because these are men and women who are numbering their days because they can no longer avoid that their days are numbered. And this is the wisdom that they bump into at the end of their life. Now, the second one, or actually the number one regret, all right, before I show it to you, if you are in your teens or your 20s or even your 30s, right, you need to pay attention to this, all right? Stop counting the lights or looking at your phone or whatever, all right, because this is huge. This is the number one, the most common regret that people had. Okay, here it is. I wish I had the courage to live a life true to myself, not the life others expected of me. I wish I had the courage to live true to myself and not the life that other people or even culture expected me. Right? That was a staggering thing to bump into. And here's what she said. This was the most common regret of all. When people realize that their life is almost over and look back clearly on it, it is easy to see how many dreams have gone unfulfilled. Most people had not honored even half of their dreams and had to die knowing that it was due to the choices they had made or not made. Right? This is so powerful. Health brings a freedom that very few realize until they no longer have it. Health brings a freedom that very few realize until they no longer have it. Now, I have just done you a huge, huge favor. I've just fast-forwarded you to the end of your life. You now have the wisdom that comes from living as if your days are numbered. So what do you do with that? Okay, what do you do with that when you look at your current schedule? What do you do with that when you look at your current pace? I mean, living at your current pace, will you die with regrets? Well, what do you do with that when you realize that there is very little space, right? There's very little space between my current pace and my limits. What do you do with that? Lord, give us wisdom that comes with living as if my days are numbered. Now, God, my time is limited. That means I need to limit the way I spend my time. My time is limited. That means I need to limit the way I spend my time. Now, I know what your pushback is. Right? I get this. I'm not different from you. I just get to speak to you every week. I understand what goes on in your head. And it goes something like this. But Darren, if I don't do as much as I possibly can, I'll never make it. Well, what's it? I don't know, but I'll never make it. Do you know what the people that she talked to would say to us? You better make sure you've chosen the right it. Because you could spend your entire life chasing after the wrong it and get to the end of your life and realize you had chosen the wrong it. Let's be honest, right? We're too busy to stop and even think about it. But you better know what it is, or else you're going to fill your life with all kinds of things that you think you're trying to get to that it. All right, and here's another one. If I don't do as much as I possibly can, I'll fall behind. Well, fall behind who? Fall behind what? Now, where in our culture did you bite into this lie of this is how it has to be and it needs to drive your schedule? I don't want my kids to fall behind. I don't want us to fall behind. I don't want to fall behind. I want to keep up with who? You know, what? I don't do as much as I possibly can. I need to do as much as I possibly can. If I don't do as much as I possibly can, I won't measure up. To who? To what? You know, what's driving you? You should have an answer to that question if it's going to drive your schedule and drive your life. Now, if you're a Christian or a follower of Jesus, and you believe that there is a personal God who has a personal plan for your life, like many of us believe, do you understand how incredibly important this is? Right, because the most important things in life are eternal things. And God woke me up to this when I was 28 years old, because I was chasing after all the wrong things. And if you're not careful, you will miss it. God has something for you to do, and if you're not careful, you will miss it. But you need to know what the priority needs to be. You know, God has something for your family. God has something for your kids. God has something for you when you're single. But it's being filled up and taken away by people around you who say, this is the way you need to live your life. And God's going, no, all right? You need to number your days. Live as if your days are numbered, because by doing so, you will gain. Right? You will automatically gain a heart of wisdom. Now, I want to help you even further. We're going to give you a little homework assignment. When you walk out today, our ushers are going to give you a card that looks like this. Right? And this is, I want you to fill this out. This is going to be so, so helpful for some of you. If you're married, or if you have a close friend, or if you got a boyfriend or a girlfriend, I want you to fill this out and talk about it together. And if you're a student, you know, and you dare talk about this with your parents, I want you to talk about this with your kids. But here's what I want you to do. I want you to think through, all right, the first line, what do I need to add to my schedule that's not there? All right, what do I need to add? And then the second one, what do I need to subtract? All right, what do I need to add, and what do I need to maybe permanently remove? And let me just talk about that for a second, all right? And this is tough. For some of you, maybe you need to put a name there. Maybe you need to put a series of initials there. Because if I could be so bold, maybe there is some people, or maybe there's a person in your life, and they are stealing your life from you, and you know it. Your close friends have told you, your mama's told you, your daddy's told you, and you've complained, you've pushed back, and you've argued, and you said, yeah, but they're a nice person, and na-na-na-na, but you know in your heart that they have forced so many things in your life and into your time and into your schedule that they are stealing your life from you. It's not that they're bad people, but in terms of your schedule and in your life, they're taking up too much of your time, and there's nothing to show for it. It may be friends. It may be a weekend thing. You know, maybe you're a couple, and you got another couple or a couple of couples. But in terms of numbering your days, right, they're taking too much of your time. And it's not that they're bad people. It's not that God doesn't love them. But maybe for this season, some buddies need to go. And then on the bottom two lines there, right, you're going to write down what needs to be turned up a little bit. All right, what do I need to do more of? And then on the bottom line, what do I need to do less of? You know, I can't get rid of it completely, but you know what? I'm spending too much time on that. You know, maybe we as a couple or we as a family, you know, we're spending too much time on that. And we don't need to throw away all the TVs, but as a family, maybe we're spending too much time in front of the television. I don't need to quit golf altogether, but maybe for this season, I need to just dial it down a notch. All right, I can pick on golf all day long. I don't golf, so. For me, it used to be hunting all the time. Now, my only hobby is speaking to you on Sundays. So, all right, don't be like me, right? The point is this, though, right? I'm serious. For some of you, this could be a life changer, because it is a time changer. And your time is your life. For those of you who are women's groups or men's group, or maybe you got an accountability partner, I want you to fill this out, and I want you to talk about it together. Right, maybe there's something that's dropped off my schedule, it got pushed out, and there wasn't any room for it. I need to put it back in, which means something else needs to come out. Or maybe somebody needs to come out. Right, there's something that needs to be turned up a little bit. There's something that needs to be turned down a little bit. Right, God, teach me. Right, teach us. Right, teach us to number our days that we might gain what we don't have. Teach us the number of days that we might gain, you know, something that many people will never get. Teach us the number of days that we might gain a heart of wisdom. My time is limited, which means I need to limit the way I spend my time. And if you will allow this big, you know, broad, God-sized perspective to trickle down into the details of your days and your weeks and even your life, it will change your life. And here's how I know that. Because when you begin to live as if your days are numbered, you will gain a heart of wisdom. It is a promise to you from our Heavenly Father. When you begin to live as if your days are numbered, you will gain a heart of wisdom. So let's do that. All right, let's do that. Now let's take this card. Let's fill it out. You know, grab some extras. Take them with you. Take them to work. Talk about it with your friends or your family members. But let's learn to live as if our days are numbered, because they are. And then hopefully God will give us a heart of wisdom. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, God, I pray that, again, that you would give us the wisdom to number our days, because our days are numbered. Right? We only get so many of them. And you have called us, even commanded us, to be stewards, not just of our money and our resources, but also to be stewards of our time. That the things that matter most are eternal things. So give us wisdom, God, to know what those things are, to actually sit down and fill this card out this week. And then, Father, give us the courage to actually do it, to actually talk about them with our friends or family, to actually make some changes in our lives so that we don't look back at the end of our days with regret. Teach us the number of days, Lord, that we might gain a heart of wisdom. And it's in Jesus' amazing, life-changing name that we pray. Amen.